The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, here we have made it to the 200th episode of the show. So thanks to everyone who has listened from the beginning or just hopped on at any point in time. I really appreciate that. I actually just got back in from my weekend in Phoenix where I recorded my next solo album. Probably going to release it in the spring, but we're still in the early phases of that. But it was a great weekend in the studio. Throat's still a little sore from that, so, you know, that's what happens when you spend the entire weekend recording 20 tracks of vocals from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's pretty much all I did, but you best believe my ass was done by that Cowboys game, so that's for damn sure. So let's get into the weekend's games that we had here. So I did catch some of these games, but I missed a lot of these games as well, because like I said, I was recording until Sunday afternoon, so it was a very, very busy weekend for me. I didn't pay attention to a whole lot of sports, which is very, very, very rare for me. So let's get into the first game we had of the weekend was the Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. This was the last international game of the year in Frankfurt, Germany, and it was a total snooze fest. The Colts barely got the win, 10-6. And, you know, Mac Jones do what Mac Jones do, and that is throw really bad interceptions at the worst time. So, you know, the Patriots were driving towards the end of the game, and he ended up throwing yet another interception in the red zone, and he got benched yet again. And the Patriots season just keeps going further and further down the toilet. Now, the Colts were much more impressive, but they still got the win, and that is all that matters. And Jonathan Taylor pretty much got the only touchdown of the game. And like I said, the Colts got the win 10-6. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was a pretty close battle until the end, but the Steelers were able to just hang on 23-19. It was just another good defensive game from the Steelers. They were able to just take care of business the way they needed to. Jordan Love, he still had a pretty solid game, 289 yards and two touchdowns, but the two interceptions he threw are what really cost him. The Steelers actually did find a source of offense from running back Warren. He had 101 yards and a touchdown, so Steelers just able to get the win 23-19, and somehow they keep on winning in really ugly ways, but it doesn't matter because they're 6-3, and that's all that matters. Then we had a crazy game between the Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals, and C.J. Stroud did it yet again. He took the Houston Texans on a game-winning drive in Cincinnati against the Bengals, who were the hottest team in the league at that point in time, and C.J. Stroud just did it again. He threw for 356 yards, a touchdown, and an interception, and he just is shining each and every week and just showing that and proving that he was the best rookie quarterback to take this year, and he just gets better with each and every game, which says a lot because there aren't a lot of options for him in Houston, but he seems to make the most out of what he has. And then their running back Singletary, he had 150 yards and a touchdown, so it was a really big game offensively, actually, for both teams, but the Texans would end up getting the win 30-27. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings. This one, in a shocking turn of events, the Vikings actually pretty much dominated this one from start to finish, especially in the second quarter where they scored 21 of their 27 points. They got the win 27-19. Derek Carr did end up going out of this game with a concussion and a potential shoulder injury. Doesn't look like either are serious, but his status is still up in the air because, you know, concussions, you could tend to at least miss one game. But who knows at this point. But Josh Dobbs just keeps on winning. He had 268 yards and a touchdown. So big win for the Vikings, 27-19. And actually, TJ Hawkinson had a career day. He had 134 yards and a touchdown. So Big game from the Vikings and bad game from the Saints. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers just dominated this one all the way through. They got the win 20-6. Baker Mayfield had 278 yards and two touchdowns. And Mike Evans had 143 yards and a touchdown. So it was just a big game from the Buccaneers and just a terrible game from the Titans. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the 49ers are back. They had that three-game losing streak, and they just went into Jacksonville and scored in the first quarter and literally never looked back. They just dominated at every single aspect of this game. They won 34-3, and Brock Purdy had 296 yards, three touchdowns. McCaffrey had 95 yards. George Kittle had 116 yards and a touchdown. So it was just overall domination from the 49ers and just a bad game from the Jaguars, but I still don't look at either team in a negative light. It's just you're going to get your ass kicked sometimes, and the Jaguars got their asses kicked. Then we have the another crazy game. We had the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens, and for the majority of this game, the Ravens were dominating this game, and then all of a sudden, the Browns caught the second wind in the fourth quarter. They scored 8 points in the third quarter, but then got 16 in the fourth quarter, and they were just able to set their team up in good field position. You know, Deshaun Watson had an interception to start the game off, and it looked like it was just going to be that game for the Ravens defensively. But they were really just able to stick in the game, and somehow the Browns were able just to outplay the Ravens in the second half, and they got the win 33-31 on a walk-off field goal. Lamar Jackson didn't have a terrible game. He had 223 yards and a touchdown, but he did have two interceptions, which were two costly interceptions as usual. But the Browns somehow managed to rally and get that win. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Arizona Cardinals. And since I was in Phoenix, I had a front row seat for this one because I ended up going to a sports bar and watching the afternoon games. And this one was just crazy. It was back and forth the entire way. And it was Kyler Murray's first game back. And the dude on the last drive of the game, they ended up making this huge run on third down, set them up into a good field goal position. And then they just ended up winding the clock down and kicking a walk-off field goal in the end, getting the win 25-23. And it was just a big game from at both teams, but the Cardinals really needed that win. And like I said, Kyler Murray's first game back, and he actually had a really solid game. And like I said, set the team up for the game-winning field goal. Then we had another crazy game between the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Chargers. This was back and forth from the jump. They were just trading touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. It was like I'd keep looking over at the Cowboys game, and then I'd turn and it'd be like another score from either the Chargers or the Lions in this one. It was just insane. But the Lions were the ones to just eke it out, and they took the best chances on the game-winning drive where they went for it on fourth and two, I believe it was. Ended up setting themselves up in field goal position. They got the win 41-38. Jared Goff had a huge game, 333 yards, two touchdowns. Montgomery had a big game, 116 yards and a touchdown, and that's him coming off of injury. And then for the Chargers, Keenan Allen had yet another great game. Keenan Allen's got to be one of the most underrated players in the league. He had 175 yards and two touchdowns, and nobody really talks about Keenan Allen like he's one of the best in the league. This dude's been one of the most consistent wide receivers since he was drafted. So, and he just... he's just very, very reliable. You just got to call the dude all reliable because he is always there. He always makes the big plays. And it seems like he's putting up 175 yards all the time. And yet you don't really hear much about him being one of the best in the game. Then another crazy game between the Washington Commanders and the Seattle Seahawks. This one also went back and forth. It was tied going into halftime. And then it was just like, it was one of those games where it just kept trudging on and trudging on. And you're like, is somebody going to score? Is somebody going to win? Well, the Seahawks were able to take the game-winning drive down the field and get themselves set up in field goal position. They were able to kick the game-winning field goal, take the win 29-26. Geno Smith at 369 yards and two touchdowns. And it was just an overall really good game from both teams. But the Seahawks were just able to get the better of the Commanders in that one. Then we had the New York Giants at my Dallas Cowboys, and this was just utter domination from start to finish. As a matter of fact, really the only good play that the Giants had in this game was on the first drive. They were able to stop the Cowboys on a fourth and goal. But other than that, it was just an insane game from Dak Prescott. He had 5 touchdowns total, 404 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns through the air, 1 rushing touchdown. So that's the 5 touchdowns for him. And Dowdle, he ended up being the running back of choice. He really had a huge breakout game in this one, 79 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Cooks had 173 yards and a touchdown. C.D. Lamb had yet another insane game. It was just all-around perfection from the Cowboys offensively. They got the win 49-17. I mean, at halftime, it was 28-0. This game was pretty much over from the jump, but it was, you could just see the Giants just falling apart as this game wore on, and it was just the complete opposite on the Cowboys' side of the field, where it was just smiles all day now. Yes, it was just against the Giants, but I'll take that type of win any day against anyone, anytime. Then the Sunday Night Football game was the snooze fest between the New York Jets and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders were able to just eke out yet another win, 16-12. The Jets did exactly what they normally do. Zach Wilson was driving them down the field to try and set them up in scoring position. And, oh, guess what? He fucked up, as always. So, not looking good for the Jets. But, I mean, the Raiders, not really that impressive. Yes, they are now 2-0 under Antonio Pierce. But they played 2 pretty shitty teams up until this point. And then Monday Night Football, which was a very, very odd and surprising game. The Denver Broncos got the win 24-22. Now, offensively, the Broncos, not that electric, but they were very consistent, and they were able to set themselves up in field goal position to get the scores when they needed to. But the Bills just kept getting in their own way from the jump. I mean, the first kickoff is a fumble by the Bills. Then they get the ball back on offense, and then it's an interception. And then that's just kind of how their entire night went, where it was just the follies. And then when it felt like they might make a tiny bit of a run, the Denver Broncos defense just really stepped it up. And you really actually got to give it up to this Broncos defense, because they played great against the Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks ago in that win. And then they played great against the Buffalo Bills this week. So their defense is really, really getting it going. And their offense is doing just enough. Unfortunately for Russell Wilson, he plays behind a terrible offensive line. And he's just running for his life pretty much on every single play. So it's even shocking that he's able to make some of the plays he does. There was even this great touchdown in the first half where he was just running for his life, just tosses it up, and his receiver just goes back there, does the toe drag swag, and just catches the ball and makes a beautiful catch for a touchdown. And pretty much after that, it was just all Broncos all night. And yes, the Bills kept it close, but for the most part, it was all Broncos. And I feel like the Bills have major, major issues, at least so far, going into this season. All right, so now let's get into the top 10 NFL power rankings for week 10. Not a whole lot of changes, a couple of changes. We do actually have one new team that did crack the top 10, just because, you know, it gets difficult once you get to the 10, the 8, 9, 10 area sometimes. But 10, especially this week, I really had to kind of go back and forth, but I did end up putting a new team in there. But for the most part, we have pretty much the usual suspects here, beginning with number 1 on the top 10 NFL power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles, 8-1. They're just coming off of a bye week. To me, they're the most talented team in the league, and there really isn't many negative things to say about them. They win in different ways. They win the close games. They win ass-kicking. They win by defense. They win with offense. They win big plays. They just keep on winning, and until they lose, then that's when I have to start picking against them. But right now, they are the best team in the league, and so they are number 1 once again this week. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that moved up, but they were idle this week, the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 7-2. It's just really, there's still a lot of questions with them for me, but they're the defending champs, and they do know how to win, especially come postseason, so can't really write them off until there's a need to write them off. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 7-2. They are also a team that is winning in many different ways. They're beating good teams. They're beating bad teams. They win at home. They win on the road. They win close ones. They win shootouts. They win defensive battles. So they're just a team that keeps getting really big wins in really big moments. And they just look like a legit team, at least so far. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 7-3. They did lose a tough game this week. It was a division opponent, so I don't usually hold that against them too terribly, no matter how shitty the Browns are. They do have a great defense, but offensively the Browns are just terrible. But, I mean, you're going to lose some close games, and that's what happened with the Ravens. Defensively, they look spectacular. They lead the league with 39 sacks right now, and Lamar Jackson having a great year, and the Ravens, to me, just look like a really solid team. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Cincinnati Bengals. Overall record of 5-4. They did just suffer a tough loss this week to the Texans, but it's not like the Texans are a chump squad anymore. They actually do have a legit quarterback. And it was a tough battle for both teams. And, you know, the fact that the Bengals started off the season slow, I'm not going to really count that against them. They're still a really good team offensively, defensively. Their main problem, though, is the offensive line still. That's been their problem ever since they drafted Joe Burrow. And so far in their losses, that has been the reason why they've lost. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the San Francisco 49ers. Overall record of 6-3, and they look to be right back on track this week. You know, they're still really good. They still are great offensively and defensively. There really aren't many negative things to say about them, and they beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and the Jaguars are no longer a chump squad. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Overall record of 6-3. Now they are coming off of a tough loss this week, but they previously before that were on a 5-game winning streak, and they seem to be getting better, and you're going to suffer a loss here and there. And so I imagine they're going to go right back to the drawing board this week and just take a look at every single horrible thing they did last week and turn that around and get right back on track. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 6-3. And right now, this offense is all about Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Right now, Dak has 2,415 yards passing, 17 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. So he's really keeping the turnovers to a minimum. He's really keeping the stupid plays to a minimum. And, I mean, he's really, ever since that San Francisco 49ers game, he's really just turned it on, has looked really efficient, has really, I used to hesitate when he would drop back to pass for the really deep passes, but as of late, I have not. It's been crazy, because usually I'm always, like, hesitant, because I'm like, oh my God, is this going to be an interception, or is this just going to nobody? No. Lately, it's been going to everybody, not just CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb has also been going off this season. This entire season has been a career year for CeeDee Lamb. So far, he's got 975 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns, but he's been such a huge force for this offense, and him also after the Niners game. The two of them have just been an electric duo, and I hope they continue it through the rest of the season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 6-3. They're coming off of a bye week, and you know, they have one of the best offenses in the league. It's just defensively, we have a lot of questions. When they go up against terrible teams, they kick their ass, but when they go up against good teams, it's pretty much a struggle for them. They're not usually even in those games. So there's still a lot of questions with the Dolphins, but offensively, they are tops in the league, and they definitely are one of the top 10 teams in the league. And then rounding out the top 10 this week, I have the Houston Texans. Overall record of 5-4. And it's really just all about C.J. Stroud with this team. Like I said, that he doesn't have a lot of weapons, but he's working with what he can work with. And right now, the dude's got 2,626 yards on the season, 15 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. That just says a lot. He is carrying this team. They're getting some good wins against some good teams. They have suffered some bad losses as well, but for the most part, the Texans have battled in every single game, it feels like. And, you know, beating the Cincinnati Bengals, that's one of the best teams in the league. So to go out and do that, and just the way that they're winning and the way that they're playing, and then, of course, the way that C.J. Stroud is playing, I just had to throw them in there. There was a couple of teams. There was about 3 teams I was kind of rotating between the 10th spot. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw the Texans in there. I think they got a really big win. I wanted to talk about CJ Stroud a bit more just because I really enjoy what I'm seeing from this dude. And that says a lot because I fucking hate the Texans. And the fact that I'm enjoying and rooting for this guy says a lot. All right. And then so week 11, we have us a doozy to start the week with Thursday Night Football. We have us a battle between the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. And, you know, I am expecting this to be a battle to the end. Would not be shocked if this is a walk-off field goal, walk-off touchdown type of deal. I really see this being a battle in the trenches. And both of these teams coming off of tough losses this past week. So who's going to be more hungry in this one? I'm giving the edge to Baltimore because they're at home. But I also do just feel like they're the better team. Defensively, I feel like they're much better than them. They could cause a lot more turnovers. They tend to get at the quarterback more, and I feel like their defensive line is just going to maul the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, and the Baltimore offense is just going to get a couple more plays off and get the better of the Bengals in this one. And I have the Baltimore Ravens winning a close one, 24-23. Moving on to the college football playoff top 10 this week. We have us a new number one, and that is Georgia. They are 10-0, and they just kicked the crap out of Mississippi this week. So, or Ole Miss, I guess, as everybody likes to call them, but kicked the crap out of them, and so that pretty much just bumped them up to the number one spot this week. They will be at number 18, Tennessee, this week. Then at number two, we have Ohio State. They are 10-0. They kicked the crap out of Michigan State. They will be at Minnesota this week. Then at number three, we have Michigan. They got a big win against Penn State this week, 24-15. They are still undefeated. They play Maryland on Saturday. Then at number four, we have Florida State, who are also still undefeated and still keep on rolling. I have no idea who NAL is. So we'll just call them the National Ass Lickers. That's who Florida State's going to be playing against. Then at number five this week, we have Washington. They are 10-0, and they have number 11, Oregon State, this week. Then at number six, we have Oregon, who just got by USC this week. They will be at Arizona State on Saturday. Then at number seven, my Texas Longhorns. They are 9-1. They will be playing Iowa State this week. And then at number eight, Alabama, who keeps on surging. They are 9-1. They will be versus Chattanooga on Saturday. Then at number nine, we have Missouri. They will be playing Florida on Saturday. Then rounding out the college football playoff top 10 this week, we have Louisville. They will be at Miami this week. So that's the way the college football playoff is looking right now. Just a couple of other college football notes. Texas A&M has decided to fire Coach Jimbo Fisher this year. And of note, they just gave him an extension. Was it this year? Last year? Regardless, they just gave him like a $75 million extension. And guess what? When you're a coach and you get fired, you still get your money. So Jimbo Fisher gets $75 million to just chill at home. Now, I'm sure he's going to get signed by somebody this offseason. But Texas A&M was not happy with the job he was doing, so they decided to fire his ass and move the fuck on. And then, speaking of suspensions, we have Jim Harbaugh was suspended by the Big Ten this week. I'm not going to go on a major rant about it just because it's just so stupid. This was totally a reactionary bullshit decision from the Big Ten. There has been no investigation into anything in this whole sign-stealing scandal. And it's just totally stupid. It's not going to affect Michigan. Michigan's still going to go on and probably make the college football playoff and potentially win the national championship. So congratulations to you, Big Ten, on your awesome reactionary move there. I'm sure it's really, really going to affect the way Michigan is. And by the way, the way Michigan and everybody on the team and the way Harbaugh found out that he was suspended for the rest of the regular season was via social media. So you don't even tell them to their face. They literally found out on the plane ride to the game on Saturday. Right before the game, basically, is when they found this out. So that's what a joke this shit is. But whatever. The Big Ten and all the Michigan haters got their pound of flesh. I don't know what that is, but congratulations to y'all. Harbaugh will not be coaching the rest of the season. And how hilarious would it be if Michigan still goes on to win the national championship? I think that would be pretty fucking hilarious. But anyways, so that is today's show, y'all. Always remember, you can check out the Sports Talk with Trop preferred sports books if you just go to katietrop.net, hit the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and right at the top of the page, you will see a banner that says Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. Just click on that. There's a few options there for you to sign up for. So if you are into sports gambling, go ahead and sign up there. Got some cool choices for you, and blow your money away, because we all know nobody's winning on that shit. But still sign up, please. Do yourself a favor and still sign up, because that helps me out. So anyways, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.